coming back.
You got into Harvard Law?
What, like it's hard?
Scarface on repeat. Scarface on repeat. Constant, y'all.
Catch a painted pony on the spinning wheel ride.
Some people are saying that your new music sounds a lot like Bob Dylan.
Well, maybe Bob Dylan sounds a lot like me.
She doesn't even go here. They knew, and they let it happen.
Oh, and in case I don't see you.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
94.9 Radio Western. You are tuned into Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. My name is Elijah.
I'm Ryan.
I am Mike.
It says you're Mike. On. No, you're on.
And I'm Dalton.
I'm definitely not.
He's definitely not. Is his mic disconnected?
There's no way your mic is disconnected.
Talk into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am talking into it.
Yeah. Hold on. Hold on. I'll handle it.
Try that.
Check.
Don't yell at me. I can't make.
But
the thing is, it was on.
It was
talking
on.
To the mic. What do you think I'm doing?
I'm just. You know? I had pressed a button. That's why I asked you to talk into the mic because I needed to know.
Yeah.
But your mic was on. It was just there.
I'm Mike.
Funky stuff. <Yeah. laughs> And we are Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show.
What a way to kick things off.
Yeah, that's the second time in a row where something's going on with your mic.
Yeah.
That's a sign, man.
What are we doing?
Who are we? I've said who we are. We're Outside the Frame.
Okay.
We are London's only movie talk show.
Good.
We talk about film and the culture that surrounds them. A couple housekeeping things that I want to take care of. Once again, we are on streaming now. You can listen to this live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. as if you are listening to this live. That's what you're doing. But we are also on streaming the very following day. So every Wednesday, a new upload. And it's a lot of fun to see us increase in listeners every week. It is actually a lot of fun to see the stats on it and the analytics. And
that's awesome.
It's really cool. I would assume that a big reason why we had more listeners on the last episode as opposed to the ones previous to that was because we just did a little stint at the Holy Diver last week, Tuesday, which was our first edition of Movie Trivia.
Yeah, dude. That was a long pause.
I know.
I have to build up suspense.
It was
movie
suspense.
Trivia.
Packed house.
Yeah, packed house. Like packed standing house. Room only.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
It was, and it, yeah, it, what a turnout. And thank you to everybody for turning out. Thank you for showing up. We really appreciate it. We had a great time.
It was so much fun.
It was a lot of
fun. The feedback
that
we got was very positive.
The only way to go now? Down.
Yeah, exactly.
Down.
It's going to be way worse.
Yeah. Unless we have a lineup out the door next time, we've set the bar pretty high.
Really, way too high.
Yeah.
Like, way too high. Because, like, I was like, okay, if we can get, you know, the front section and maybe the bar, I would have been more than happy with that.
Yeah.
And it was way more than that.
Yeah, it was way more than that. Both sections were completely packed.
Yeah.
We had to repeat our questions because people in the back corners in the second room couldn't hear us.
They weren't even looking. Not only were they not looking at us, they couldn't even see us. It was like they were doing trivia off the radio or something. It was unreal.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah. Like, I mean, it plays into our show quite well. So we will be back, hopefully, I'm assuming, once a month until April.
Yeah, until April. For sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so but the next one, October 21st.
21st, yeah.
There will be a lot of horror categories in that, of course, because it is October. And
8 p.m. to 10 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
Holy Diver.
Yep, corner of Talbot and King.
We're going to have a lot. Like, I think the prizes, I was saying this to a few people, too. Like, you know, I think it benefits us to be in, doing this in conjunction with three different sort of, we'll say, places. You know, you have
three establishments.
You have Holy Diver, you have Radio Western, you have the Highland Cinema. So it's not just on one person to come up with awesome prizes, right? The prize pool was amazing. It's going to be even better for the next one.
I
can promise you that. And it's going to be really I'm really pumped. It's going to be awesome.
As a little teaser for people who didn't who couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Prize packs that we had for this last one or for our first show.
Yeah.
We had multiple Blu-rays that we gave away. We had multiple exclusive posters.
Yes.
Courtesy of the Highland, of course.
Yeah. Radio Western merch.
We had Radio Western merch. We had Highland merch. We had Holy Diver merch and Holy Diver gift cards.
Gift cards.
We also had
two live tickets to Destroyer, the Kiss cover band.
That's right.
That's
Brian went and posted a story of him at the concert. It was awesome.
Amazing. We had a signed printed copy of what is it? Anthony Hopkins.
In Silence of the Lambs.
That's right.
Yep.
We had a stay-at-home movie pack that came with like two boxes of popcorn and a bunch of snacks.
And a movie.
And a movie as well. Yeah. So and the bowl. You got to keep the bowl. It was just a lot of cool stuff
that we had.
So the game. We are upping our prize game next time.
It's going to be fun.
October 21st.
Cherry flavored vapes. It's going to be pretty sick, guys.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
In fact, that's the only prizes you can win.
Yeah. You either get one vape, two or three. Exactly. So without further ado, I think that's all the housekeeping that I've got today, because we have if you do want to text us, 519-661-3600. Take part in the conversation with us. That is 519-661-3600. Is that everything, I think?
Yeah, I think
we're not
so.
On Twitch today, so I think that's about it, because we do have a loaded episode.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that, because, you know, a few months ago, a trailer dropped for One Battle After Another, and I looked at the two gentlemen sitting to my right here.
Dalton was not here.
You were not here for that yet, Dalton, but I looked at these two and I said, this has the potential to be an all-timer.
Yeah.
And based on the reactions that this movie has been getting, that might very well be the case.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, what would be an entertaining way to talk about this movie without just spoiling a movie that came out, you know, 3 days ago live on radio? So I thought it would be extremely chaotic and heated and a lot of fun if we took all 10 of Paul Thomas Anderson's films and ranked them, because that is going to be challenging, to say the least. We have people in here who
have bad taste and will want movies way higher. And then
you're being very calm right now.
Oh, I'm not just talking about one person.
That's fair.
Yeah, I don't like the way how you were looking around the room there.
I will say,
Mike, you're in danger. You're in the middle.
Yeah, oh yeah.
This is like picking your favorite children.
100%.
This is
going to
be.
Well, I mean, for context, I wanted to maybe say this off the top. Like, when we rank these are definitely not like a worst to best type situation, in the sense of like he has a bad movie.
Yeah, he doesn't.
I don't think he does.
And by that I mean, like, there's movies that I don't like of his,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I won't watch again, just because maybe I will. None of them are on my never watch again list on Letterboxd.
Yeah,
but there's a difference between a badly made movie and a movie you don't like,
right?
That is, you know, maybe just not your taste, right? And so, if like our 10th movie. Like PTA's 10th movie on this list is better than like most movies.
Yeah, most most directors best.
Maybe this isn't just recency bias or whatever. He is just one of the best living filmmakers.
Absolutely,
truly.
Yeah. So
inarguably,
And yeah, I mean, you can argue it if you want, but
you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
So I think the mark of one of the marks of a great filmmaker and director is that they do have films that hit certain, like, they're not just films that are across the board that everyone loves. Like, he has a very specific kind of thing that he does, even if they're in different genres. And like, if you don't connect with, you know, A Punch Drunk Love, you might connect with The Master, and they're made by the same person, but you may never watch the other one again. And the other one might be your favorite movie.
Yeah,
and so he just has such a specific way of thinking about the world and being able to like take all of these ideas and then like put them down onto celluloid and like really like tell a character story. And that's, I think, one of the interesting things about One Battle After Another is that he marries both like his character studies that he's done in the past, which are mostly his movies are like character studies.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
less concerned about story. It's a lot of people talking. But also the actual structure of his films are not necessarily your one act, two act, three act traditional way of telling stories. They're very character based, and he lets the characters drive.
You see the evolution of these characters throughout maybe a certain circumstance or whatnot, or even just like how they affect each other being in each other's lives. he has a very distinct way of evolving characters and, yeah. and writing characters. Mm-hmm. That doesn't come off as too flashy, but he's very good at writing dialogue. He has a very distinct style when it comes to that.
For sure. And with One Battle, I think it's the perfect marriage of both those things. Like, it has a very, like, a, such an accessible story. Mm-hmm. And the way he tells it is, mm-hmm. like, and it's so entertaining. Like, and there's just really three distinct acts in the movie. And there's a climax, yeah. and there's a villain that's interesting. Like, it's like what you are taught in, you know, day one in script class.
So many people like, comparing it to Star Wars, and I'm like,
I know it's because Leo said something in
but from a basic like story
100%
point, absolutely
yeah. but that's I mean, Star Wars isn't the birth of storytelling, like,
no.
It's also it's the same, it's the story of there it's
of
or it's one kind of story, I think this film just like that film in particular
right.
marries both those things because it is a couple of character studies that, you know, he could do a master type situation mm-hmm. with Sean Penn and Leo or whatever in terms of like really delving into their psyche and why but that's not what the movie is interested in.
No,
and that's not
no.
what he's not interested in that in this particular movie.
You get enough of their characters
100%.
Just through them navigating the world.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I just think that's something that we diverted a little bit, but we got to talk about PTA,
and we will get into a lot more of One Battle after another.
We are going to be ranking
that is
One
correct.
Battle. It's going
to
be
part. Yes, we were all able to see it. Yeah. So that was the only. It was all riding on me being able to see it because I was gone this past weekend. So I was the last person to see it.
Yeah,
but I did get to see it.
Yeah.
And it's still pretty fresh in my mind. So I'm very excited to say that I saw it and get into my thoughts and feelings about it. But we're starting at 10 and we're going to go to 1.
Yeah.
So my personal thought is we will probably get into that movie a little bit later down the line.
Yeah.
I don't see it being at the top of this list.
I
can't imagine a world where this would be at the start of our list.
Yeah. But I did do a Letterboxd ranking today of PTA movies, and right now I had One Battle at 4.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's my personal ranking.
I have not seen this ranking yet, but I'm very interested to see how the official outside
the
frame.
It's not going to be the same.
I doubt it as well.
I can guarantee you.
Mine's not even going to be close.
No.
Yeah.
to what this.
But that's what's so great.
That's
about
the fun of this part.
It is.
Well, and that's what's so great about someone like PTA is, like I said, like there's just certain movies that hit people in a certain way.
Yep.
And it also has to do with, I think, when and where you saw it and how you were introduced with to the film and like, you know, also like, you know, something like The Master, for example, I honestly think if you're under the age of 30 and like not a male, it's probably like don't even watch it.
It's harder
like,
to
like or like honestly like
you can admire how the filmmaking of it,
but it's
harder to resonate, or it will likely resonate with you more the older you get, right?
And I'm not saying that in an elitist way at all. I'm just like, dude, that
no, just in an ageist way.
Yeah, 100% in an ageist way.
Uh-huh.
But that movie will that movie will hit you differently at a later state in your life.
For sure.
Just because of what the movie's about. And you need, in order to connect fully with that movie, this is just my opinion, you have to have enough life experience to connect with that. And usually that's time. Now, if you're someone like the person sitting to my right, he probably connected
Dalton.
That movie when you were, what, like 22 or something, or 21?
Yeah.
So it's just about life experience and
right.
like what you've been through.
Yep.
And like, yeah, so, but so usually, like, that's not a movie I would recommend, you know, like, oh, I haven't seen a PTA movie yet.
Don't start with the Master.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Because the movie doesn't really make any sense. You know?
Yeah. I quite like The Master.
We're not saying that it's a bad movie. It's just
my
like,
top three movies.
You're
first,
about
we're
that.
Not going to say that it's the first. Like,
I probably connected with The Master. Oh, my God. I don't know. I think I was 16 when I saw it for the first time.
Do you mind if I ask you, was that the first movie you had seen from Paul Thomas Anderson?
No. Because
I would like to actually get everybody's, before we dive into it.
That's great.
Where we met.
That's great.
Where our personal journey started with PTA.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, I'll start with you and then work our way around.
Oh, mine was There Will Be Blood.
That was your first movie.
Yeah, that was my first PTA.
Incredible. Wow. What a one to start out with.
Yeah, crazy one to start off with.
Okay. And
to be honest, like, I only saw it the once when I was like 14 or 15 or something. I watched it. I didn't watch it again until a month ago.
Interesting.
And I watched it for the second time ever a month ago, and I can't believe how completely unnerving it is and how I didn't notice that the first time I watched it.
Yeah, well, PTA is great at that.
Yes. Yeah. Like, the first time I watched it, I think it was just, like, I was so mesmerized by, like, the filmmaking that, like, I didn't actually feel the emotion of the movie.
And Daniel Day-Lewis always talking like this.
For me, it was Boogie Nights for sure.
Right,
Boogie Nights.
That checks out.
Yeah,
that's on brand.
Yeah, it's on brand. But also, there was only three PTA movies at the time, so that's the one that I saw first.
When that came out?
No. When I saw it. Gotcha, yeah. Okay. There was only three Paul Thomas Anderson movies. So, right. It was very flat. It was a big flashy movie, obviously. And he followed it up with Magnolia a couple years later, which was a big noisy movie as well. But I didn't see that until a little bit later. I didn't see his first film until film school. It's definitely more of a film school type watch, yeah. I think. Or in film school, if you're actually in physical film school or going through your own film school in watching films, that you can define it that way too. So mine was Boogie Nights.
Mine was also There Will Be Blood.
Nice.
And it was like, it was not long after it came out. I was like definitely too young to watch it.
Yeah.
But it was like, I don't know, I've just always been into like any movie that I could find.
Right.
And that was like, oh yeah, and it blew my mind as a child. Mm-hmm. That's what I was a child.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
And
I mean that film, like, it, like, I was dead in the middle of actual film school, so when that movie came out, it was like a bomb.
Everything
went off.
Yeah.
Not long after, I was producing a movie about a guy in the woods, like literally recreating scenes, trying our best to recreate scenes from There Will Be Blood. I mean, it was a huge deal. I saw it in Toronto, actually, and saw it in theater. So, but yeah, that was like a bomb went off. That there was two films like that when I was in film school. One was There Will Be Blood, and the other one was The Dark Knight. Both those movies were like,
she's so
like,
influential to you as a filmmaker.
No, I would say no.
Yeah,
not Dark Knight at all. Yeah. But I just mean in terms of the impact of like that. That's all anyone was talking about, and those were the two biggest movies when I was in film school. In terms of like, oh, you had to go see this multiple times. You had to go see this in, you know, in theaters and blah blah blah. But
right,
I mean, There Will Be Blood is, I mean, it's a great one to start off with.
Yeah. What about you, Elijah?
Mine was Punch Drunk Love. I remember it was actually, so I started getting into like the whole, I started getting into film when I was about 10, which would have been 2005. And so,
that's gross, dude.
Yeah, sorry about that. And so at that point, it was 2 years later. So like I had some time to catch up. And then when the Oscars came out, when I started getting into like the Oscars, when the Oscars would come out, and they would start building up anticipation. And so when I was 12, 2007, in
great
this movie,
year.
Great year for film.
And a big battle for Best Picture.
That's right. Yeah. And so I remember hearing about PTA and why everyone thought he might win Best Director and Best Picture, so on and so forth. And I was like, okay, well, the movie hadn't come out yet, so I wanted to watch his previous work. So I watched Punch Drunk Love and quite enjoyed it. And for some reason, 12-year-old Elijah was like, this will probably be a similar movie. And I fell asleep during There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
And just was like, not for me, I guess. No. And then I watched it when I was 16.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Different experience.
Yeah. It blew my mind.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe I had fallen asleep through it the first time. But again, probably just couldn't, like, there just wasn't something connecting with me. Now, with that being said, so most of our experiences in the mid 2000s and then the late 90s.
Yeah.
So
see, both of you know what really sucks is you were talking about in 07 when you were 10, right? And then you guys were talking about in or like
12 and
yeah, 12, yeah. Yeah. I was older than that in the late 90s.
Oh,
isn't that gross, dude?
Yeah.
I don't like that. You
time
know?
Works time works in a fun way.
It only
way.
Goes forward, huh?
Yeah. It's crazy how that works. So interesting that
it's gross, dude.
So with that being said, I think that we can probably just jump right into our number 10 pick.
Yeah.
So allow me to throw out a suggestion that I think should be last place.
Yeah.
And I don't know how this will land with you all, but...
Is it There Will Be Blood? Is that what
you're Thank you, yes. It made me fall asleep, cannot forgive it for that.
Yeah.
No, it would be his first movie. I think Heart 8 would be my personal choice. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason that I want to put this one on the table as number 10 is because it is his first go of things, mm-hmm. and he only learns more from this. And I think every movie after that... particularly Boogie Nights, his follow-up,
yeah,
you see a massive improvement.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that improvement ever really goes away.
I think also you're just stealing from the big picture, I think, too. So
what's that?
they literally said that, like, word for word.
Genuinely?
Yeah.
So we're just stealing. Maybe me and Sean Fennessy are just like...
Yeah, you and Sean are just, on the same wavelength.
Share a brain.
I could argue like two films that I would prefer to have here more, but I think on a consensus, knowing other tastes,
knowing how you careful where you're sitting there, buddy.
It wouldn't be Inherent Vice. Wouldn't be Inherent Vice. I think
I agree with Elijah.
It makes most logical sense.
Yeah, I think so.
It does. I guess feel like a first time film, even though it's very good.
It's very.
And I hate using this word because I don't think it is, but compared to his other work, it certainly is. But his most forgettable.
Sure.
I remember if you can use that for a PTA film.
If you could use that for a PTA film,
sure.
But it also introduced us to Philip Seymour Hoffman too.
Yeah. It did.
That's true.
It did. And what a great scene he's in.
He's unbelievable.
Steals it. Yeah. For like the 3 minutes that he's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really
old timer. Yeah. He's so good.
But I'm okay with putting in.
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the right,
choice. So the easy one is off the table.
The easy one is off.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Now it's the Wild West.
So number 9, I just put one on the table.
Yeah. I could throw out a couple.
Okay, but don't throw out a couple. Throw out the one that you genuinely think should be at number 9.
Well, I mean, it's not up to me. It's what I think we could come as a group together.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Come together as a group.
You're making me so nervous.
Let's just start here. Maybe it might go a little higher, but I'll throw out Licorice Pizza.
I honestly agree with you. You're not going to get pushback from me on that.
I mean,
I'm not.
I know you're a fan.
I'll push back, but if there's the consensus that all you guys want at 9, I won't fight that hard. I think that movie is like pure movie magic. It's in terms of like storytelling and everything. Yeah, there's barely a story. It really is just like
that's such a fun defense.
A vibe movie, right? You just feel it. So that's why I'm okay with it being there,
mm-hmm.
even though like on my personal ranking it would be much higher.
Of course, right?
In terms of like his career, it's not one of his like flashiest movies. It feels like he just wanted like a quick. Like,
I mean, in my personal ranking, it's number 10. So you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Okay, so
which is funny because you haven't seen one of them.
So that makes this being 10 even harsher.
Yeah,
because I'm like
you're taking ones that you haven't seen.
I ranked the one that I haven't seen higher than this movie.
Oh, that's
because
so
there's
good.
No possible way that it could.
I know for a fact that the movie, and we'll get into it once we get there.
Yeah, I won't call you out just yet. I
don't care. I could have watched it this weekend just in preparation. And Dalton was like, you should. I ended up watching Cleopatra and then Foxy Brown and Coffee. So those were my...
It's crazy that you didn't watch Cleopatra Jones right after...
I thought about it. But I needed some Foxy Brown, though.
Fair.
The climax of that movie is so crazy. Anyway, okay. Before we move on from 9, my only... like, and maybe this moving forward, we can always kind of do this. If you have a problem with someone throwing... like, you have to give a suggestion then. You can't just be like, I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Great call.
Like, here's the thing. If that number 9, if you don't want it there, what else is going to be there, right? And then we can have that discussion.
So do you think that one should be?
I'm okay with it being there.
Okay.
Due to like, it does feel a little like softer. And in terms of like his filmmaking like capabilities, it is just kind of like a fun one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
okay.
I'm okay with it there.
Okay. then if you're okay with it, yeah. I was probably going to put that as well. I just wanted to.
It was not on my list.
And I mean, that's, we've talked about it.
I'm not getting it worked up just yet.
I know. Not yet.
Yeah. I could have set this whole thing
up.
It'll be next, bro.
I could have set this off real quick just by saying one thing at number 10.
Right.
Yeah.
But, okay, so we'll put Licorice Pizza over at number 9. We'll go to one of the other two gentlemen for number 8. Do any of you gentlemen have a position that you would like to?
I do. I don't think it's going to go over well, but I'll say it.
Okay.
Sure. If you say Boogie Nights, you have to.
No.
Yeah,
I'm not that crazy. I'm not that crazy. I would put Punch Drunk Love here, personally.
So, okay, this is. So I'm matching with a lot of people right now because that's actually. That was my number 8.
Okay. All right.
I have some issues.
Do you have a suggestion?
Elijah, yeah.
I do, but yeah,
Elijah feel it out.
I was waiting for Elijah to kind of think.
I know he from what I've gathered, you quite like.
I do,
this movie.
But I gave it I gave Licorice Pizza 4 stars on Letterboxd, and I do feel that way. But I also gave this movie 4 stars. So I'm inclined to be okay with, like, I'm like thinking about the rest of his filmography. I do have to say that I'm okay with that personally. It's rubbing you the wrong way, though, Mike.
I mean, there's just at least 2 other films that I would suggest here. Mm-hmm. One of them I haven't seen.
So that's not.
I think I know which one.
So we got to get that one out of here.
I think I probably know which one you guys.
We can't go too far with the Phantom Thread.
Oh my god!
Because
we
haven't. I don't know if we've ever had the Daniel Day-Lewis discussion on this show. I don't know if it's the right time.
What is the Daniel Day-Lewis discussion?
That he's awesome.
That he's a great actor.
I'm just kind of like.
That's crazy.
That's a bad take.
I mean, the couple of films that he's most known for honestly have more to do with the filmmakers than they do with him. I think he's
Phantom Thread was only made by Paul Thomas Anderson.
That's my point.
Yeah.
But like, he's not well known for that movie though. I'm saying There Will Be Blood, right?
But Lincoln.
Gangs of New York, right?
He won an Oscar for Lincoln, but no one talks about it being a Steven Spielberg movie.
Lincoln's fine.
Sure, but his performance in it is just incredible.
Here's the thing. You know what doesn't impress me? He lived like Lincoln for like 8 years.
Oh,
you know
what I mean? I think it's awesome.
What about the great Irish drama In the Name of the Father?
So
how he gets to that
In the Name of the Father.
I'm just over it, dude. All I'm saying is I'm over it. It doesn't make someone a good actor because they eat like pears for 2 years.
Do you feel this way about Dustin Hoffman as well? Because he's also like a method actor, right?
Yeah, no, I understand that. But we can start. Do you want to start getting into late career De Niro and late career Dustin Hoffman?
To be fair,
you think De Niro went method when he did
the internship or whatever?
The internship or Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah, he might have done method for Rocky.
Yeah,
Bullwinkle.
Like he went method for that. This is my point, is that they go method when they feel the role calls for it. Right. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that I'm not, like, he's good when he's good, and he's not good when he's not good. And just because he's in a movie doesn't mean he's good. You know what I mean? And that I just feel like that's a lot of the sort of rhetoric around Daniel Day-Lewis is he's amazing regardless of what else is happening. He's amazing. He also did a movie called 9, which sucks.
Not good.
It sucks so bad.
It is
and
bad.
And he sucks so bad. Okay?
But.
So I'm just saying, this is my whole point.
Okay.
He's great when he's great and just like every other actor. And just like I said, just because he wears, you know, the boxers that Lincoln wore, you know, for 8.5 years so that, you know, and circumcised himself or whatever he did to get into the role doesn't make him a good actor.
Right. That is absolutely fair. However, I would like to say this. He is phenomenal in Phantom Thread.
He is phenomenal in that movie.
What do you think it's like for his wife?
And this rabbit.
You know what I mean?
This rabbit over here. He's always talking like one way.
That's in one movie.
Yeah, that is Gangs of New York.
I'll put a montage together of him talking the same way. He talks the same way.
No, anyway, he speaks in that high whistle in Lincoln.
Yeah, because it called for it. Like, Lincoln calls for that. That's actually...
That's just the Jerry Stewart.
Yeah,
it's just Jimmy Stewart.
I can only be
Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart. All right, so, So is that your replacement?
Phantom Thread?
Yeah.
No, I can't do that.
That movie can't get too high, though. That's all
we'll
I'm
see.
Saying.
We'll see. Okay, so, number eight.
Here's the thing. I may never see it.
I think if...
Wait, so you actually put up the one that you haven't seen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay, yeah. I'm putting Punch Drunk Love.
nothing in that
really?
Movie
interesting. Because that's the consensus
Zero
of it.
Things.
What about the fact that he does the cinematography for it, and it's the most gorgeous movie?
PTA does the cinematography for that movie, yeah.
To look at.
Yeah, so is Barry Lyndon.
Yeah,
and great it's movie. Awesome movie.
It's not a good.
It's an incredible movie.
Well, it's, the movie's good, but
let's
boring.
Let's settle.
Oh, right. It is. It is like watching paint dry.
It's like paint dry, dude.
It is an incredibly boring movie.
See, I'm just saying everything that everyone else is thinking, but they're like, oh no, it's Kubrick.
But a movie can be slow.
Oh no, it's
Kubrick. Still be good.
It's Kubrick. I gotta say, it's the greatest thing. No, you
I'm
don't.
Not saying it's the greatest it's thing. I'm saying it's a great movie. Still a great movie.
No,
we can say shit. We
dude, absolutely.
What right. are we doing? Taking a break?
Yeah, we are about to hit the ads, and I did want to mention before we go to the break we did hit Punch Drunk Love because three or four of us decided to put it there.
It's all good. It's all
wow,
good.
We are already. This is actually exactly how I wanted this to go.
Oh yeah, we're not even
three movies in. We are 30% of the way, and we're already getting crazy about this. So, and this is of course our PTA, our Paul Thomas Anderson ranking. We will be right back after these ads. Don't go anywhere. You're still listening to Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. You are still listening to Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. We are in the, not the middle.
No, we're not.
We're in the beginning, I guess, of our Paul Thomas Anderson
almost
ranking.
Almost 40% through.
Almost 40%. Yeah. We are 30% to be very accurate.
Well,
the middle
bits are going to be tough.
Yeah, that is true.
I think the middle bits are going
to
be tough.
Do I get to start off on this one?
Yeah.
Yes, you're the only,
oh,
wait.
That's fun. Yeah, I'm the only one who has to start off.
That is correct. So just to update everyone. On our PTA ranking, at 10 we have Hard 8, at 9 we have Licorice Pizza, and at 8 we have Punch Drunk Love. We're at 7 now, and you're the only one who hasn't recommended a movie yet, Rye Guy, so why don't you...
Say it, dude.
Listen.
It's the right choice.
I want
so just
to give
it.
A preamble that I actually really, really like this movie. I think it belongs in this spot, though.
Yeah.
I think we got to put Inherent Vice
Absolutely, we have to put Inherent Vice here. It cannot go any...
I'm kidding.
This cannot go any further at all.
Seven is good for it.
Seven is way too good for
it. Seven's really good.
I am going to say, I said as long as it's not last, and my hope was it could at least make it to seven, so if it's seven, I will be ecstatic.
Wow.
There's a person in this room, and maybe we can give him 30 seconds to cook.
Okay, okay.
Please, yes. Because
there's
it's
a
one
person,
of his favorites.
It's one of
it
your...
It is my favorite movie.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Inherent Vice.
Please, why? Because, you know, if we're about to play it at seven...
Like, not just PTA, of all time.
Yeah.
That is kind of wild.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know. It's a movie that, when I first watched it, I didn't like it either. Like, my first viewing of it?
Funnier.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Your first instinct is usually right.
I did not like it. And then I revisit, and I was like Mike every time someone says, I was like, that movie's terrible. Like,
yeah.
And then
it sucks.
Every time I watch that movie, it gets, like, so much better. It finds, like, because it's kind of a movie you have to, like, navigate and, like, figure out what's happening. And the more you figure out and the more you, like, get to know these characters and everything. It's a crazy movie. It's very romantic. It's very like sad in like a like hidden under the surface. I don't know. I find the whole thing just a beautiful.
Movie. Is there a connection between that movie and One Battle After Another?
There certainly is. Well,
yeah.
It's got the same director. I'm just kidding. Yeah, they're both Pynchon adaptations. I mean,
which
Inherent
is an
Vice,
author important to
yeah,
you.
Inherent yeah. Vice is a much more straightforward adaptation.
Yeah.
One Battle After Another is barely
inspired.
An adaptation.
Yeah, more
yeah.
of an one.
Yes.
Inspiration.
But yeah, I love Thomas Pynchon, so that I feel like it also gets... finds a place in my heart.
PTA is the only person that has adapted any of his work, right?
Technically. There's been I saw a student film once that was an
adaptation.
Yeah,
that doesn't count. Right.
So, but yeah, in terms of like actual like big released movies, I believe he's the only one.
Yeah. So there you go.
I don't get what you mean with the sadness underneath the surface.
For sure.
I was sad when I watched it too.
No.
Well, the thing is that it's too Lynchian for me.
Fair.
In the sense of I don't what I
wish
mean,
you guys could
when
see
we
face
just when did. We just say things.
No. kind of actually, yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Is that that's what Lynch does is that he's yeah. like basically he makes a movie and says you figure it out and that
there
that
was
has
a fish in the percolator.
Yeah. That's exactly
his is more extreme, I would say, but yes.
Way more extreme.
Yes, but yeah,
but the vibe of Inherent Vice is more like you figure out what it
yes.
is.
Yeah.
And some people really connect with that, just mm-hmm. like some people really connect with Lynch's stuff as mm-hmm. as in, hey, you know, I really want to dissect this or whatever. Problem is, obviously, the extreme version is David Lynch's. If that guy doesn't know what it's about, then I have no interest in watching it.
Yeah. Right. It's kind of like improvised modal jazz.
Right. And yeah, that's yeah, 100%. Yeah,
which is kind of fire in its own respect.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying Lynch is a bad filmmaker. That's not what I'm saying. This is just not for me. And it has that, Inherent Vice has that same energy. I'm like, if you don't know what it's about, then like, why do I need to figure, if I can figure out what I'm, you know, if that's my job, then I'll go make my own movie and figure out my own movie. Right, rather than trying to figure out what your movie's about. So that's one of the things that is the big disconnect for me with that movie.
Sure.
There's a lot of great things in Inherent Vice, the performances, mm-hmm. obviously. The way that movie looks is amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that for me personally, I really want to like, but I can't get there. So
I'll mm-hmm. get you there. Don't worry. Well,
yeah, yeah. Give it some time. Give it a few more rewatches.
One last note on that before yeah. we move on.
Mm-hmm.
I get what you're saying. What I meant by, like, when you dig into it, I think it's a very simple story.
Mm.
I think the movie is very simple. He just has a lot of, like, strange characters saying strange things and doing
yes,
strange
yeah.
things.
Doing, yes.
But, like, if you watch it just as, like, a point A to point B movie, it's a very straightforward story.
First 30 minutes, you don't know what's going on.
How most mystery movies work. It's fine. Let's move on.
This is fantastic. I hope on the next episode of Sick Flicks, it's just Inherent Vice talking and you talking about how much you dislike it and you talking about
well,
how much
we have
you like
discussed the like convince me it's sick.
Yeah.
And that's where that stemmed from. So we would each pick a film that the other one doesn't think
I'm
it's
not
sick,
ready to go there. I'll get too worked up.
Yeah, Dom yeah. will get way too worked up.
But that's the fun of it. Okay.
All right.
So we have Inherent Vice at 7. Gentlemen, we're okay to move on.
Yes.
Yeah. Number 6.
Is that you?
So I guess we're back to me now.
Yeah.
And
this is a tough one.
I think this is between is 1 and 2 yeah. choices here.
Okay.
Yes.
So
I think so as well.
I want to make sure that I'm actually going to, because I have to think about this. There is... I'm trying to think about all the movies that are left,
mm-hmm.
Which would give us what? That would give us Boogie Nights. That would give us Magnolia.
Yep, yep.
There Will Be Blood.
Yes.
The Master.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
One Battle After Another and Phantom Thread.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah.
There's probably two choices here.
Okay.
That you
could
go.
I love this movie a lot, mm-hmm. But I
just say it.
I feel like Phantom Thread has to go here.
That would be one of my two choices.
You could.
I mean, it's
there's another one
I could
hear
me.
An argument for.
Yeah,
but because I do love that movie, but
would the other one? Is everyone in agreement? Would the other one be Magnolia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're all
I'm
on
okay.
the same
okay.
page.
Okay. It was between those two. Yeah. So
I would lean. I think personally.
Yeah.
I mm-hmm. think Phantom Thread is better than Magnolia.
Better.
I agree with Dalton.
I haven't seen Phantom Thread.
Yeah.
That's right. So it's really just an us three. Yeah. It's just an us three thing now at this point.
Do you think Phantom Thread is better than Magnolia? Or do you think Magnolia?
Now, here's the thing is I have a sweet spot because Magnolia is probably my favorite of PTA movies.
Okay.
So I love how ambitious it is.
Technically, you're outvoted, though. So.
That is true. I am outvoted. And I'm okay to put Magnolia in this spot.
Mm-hmm.
I truly am. It's I do love it, but I understand why a lot of people would think it's a bit messier of a movie.
Mm.
Why it may not be as consistent as
I love Magnolia.
I think it's fantastic.
I
think it's a great movie. I love when directors take giant swings and
it's a crazy movie to exist.
It
crazy.
Is, and yeah. I love the fact that it exists for that very reason. And I think that it nails a lot most, if not all, of the swings it takes.
Tom Cruise's best performance
you could
in his
say,
career?
You could absolutely say it's Tom Cruise's best performance. I could have maybe one or two that I would put up against it, Collateral being one.
Yeah.
But
another What's Up, Homie movie?
What's Up, Homie? Hey, homie, is this your briefcase?
Yeah.
That so movie good. Rips so hard.
So hard. It's such a good movie.
But yeah, so we go Magnolia and then Phantom Thread.
Yeah, take out.
Okay, yeah.
Take out two.
Wow, killing the...
Wow, two birds, one stone.
As Ricky would say from Trailer Park Boys, we're getting two birds stoned at once.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And then we have Phantom Thread at numero five.
Yeah. Okay. So now we got our top four.
Oh, now we're getting into the...
We're getting into the weeds.
Now we're getting into the weeds here.
So...
Oh, Lord.
We got four left. The way that I'm assuming I have to suggest something here.
Yeah, I guess you're up next. Yeah.
So the way I think about this, I'll tell you the way that I think I'll think about it because
I know where you're going with this, but
in my mind, there's a top two movie, and that's either Boogie Nights or There Will Be Blood. So that would leave two other films to kind of go four and three, right? Which would be The Master and One Battle After Another.
Mm.
Now. That's interesting because one battle you would have as recency biased, you could say. You could say actually all four of us are having recency bias by putting it in the top five. You could say that, right?
Right. You could argue that just because there's no other way to get around the fact that we have all just seen it for the, like...
That's what
that
I'm saying.
True. Right?
Yeah.
So,
that's what I'm saying.
But...
However, that movie's sick.
To be there still. Yeah.
That movie's sick. I don't know, just because of time, I don't know if it gets past There Will Be Blood right now.
Right.
I don't know if it gets past Boogie Nights, in my personal opinion. So this is just the way I'm thinking. I get to throw out a movie here, not you.
I enjoy hearing how your brain is working right now.
Me too.
So that would be The Master, and like I said, I would land on The Master one battle after another. Now, personally... I would put One Battle here. I don't have the same relationship with One Battle as I do with the other three films.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, it's really not about... I don't think any of us really maybe thinking one of these movies is better than the other movie at this point. Because I think all four of these movies are like five-star masterpieces. I did give One Battle 4.5. But I needed a little room to grow, one way or the other.
Yeah. Right. So then next time you watch it, you can have the satisfaction of adding the half star.
Right. Yeah. I didn't want to have to be like, oh, I already gave it a 5-star. What if I don't think it's a 5-star movie? Anyways, but for all intents and purposes, all four of these are 5-star. So I'm going to put forward One Battle here at number four.
You're kind of convincing me to put it at four.
I could hear one other movie, which would be The Master.
I would put The Master there, personally.
Okay. That's a tough one for me, Ryan.
I think it's too low for The Master. I think The Master's too low at four.
I will have to agree with Dalton. I do think that The Master could go here.
Now we're in a pickle.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. we have a tie here.
Yeah.
This ain't good.
Let's talk it out a little bit. We got 16 minutes. We can talk this one out.
Yes.
Because the moment we figure out this number four, I think number three makes it a bit easier.
Yeah.
Assuming that you guys think that, I went with the assumption that we would collectively think that it's either There Will Be Blood or Boogie Nights.
I think we'll probably all be in agreement on the rest of them.
Well,
After these two.
It depends after what four two. Is. That's what four is.
Yeah.
Okay. I will make the case for One Battle After Another at three.
Okay.
And The Master at four.
Okay.
I do think that The Master, is a masterful work. I think that, like you said earlier, it makes the case for a lot of the PTA case where he's very good at writing, and there's just two characters that are evolving over time.
Yeah.
And there is something to be said about the relationship that all of us have to that movie because it's been able to last longer.
Yeah.
For my personal opinion, as I just said with Magnolia, I think that One Battle After Another takes a lot of swings in a direction that he is not generally comfortable with.
It feels like a big evolution for him.
Right. So he doesn't make these grand set pieces very often, and he nails all of them.
Well, I mean, I would disagree with that. I think he does make he does have grand set pieces in a lot
this
of
many?
His movies. No, maybe not this many, but
I would I say mean,
There Will Be Blood yeah. is almost like there's a set piece like every 25 minutes in that movie. Mm-hmm. But okay. I mean, you're missing out on two really important arguments on your side, I think.
Please.
Go
ahead.
I mean, rewatchability would be, it's much higher than
sure.
The Master. I would.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, The Master, I mean, a crazy person like myself or Ryan might rewatch The Master.
Yeah, I watch The Master all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I love The Master.
Yeah. Yeah. But generally, which then leads to the second thing, is definitely it's a more accessible and populist movie.
Right. Which I don't
think
is... The
Master is definitely not.
Which I don't think is, like, inherently a point for one movie, that it's more accessible. But I think there is something to be said if somebody can make an accessible movie that is also fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
know,
not just something that is... Because, like, The Master is great. Yeah. The Master is a phenomenal movie. It's a masterwork, like, truly.
Absolutely.
But I feel as
what
though...
What an opening to that movie. Yeah.
Genuinely.
I love
the opening to that film.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so good, dude.
Oh, my God. The sand peep, like, the sand woman. Yeah, yeah. Him laying, the shot of him laying on the boat.
Yeah, right.
Good, yeah.
I was just thinking of the boat. I forgot about the sand woman.
Yeah. The sand woman that appears multiple times in that movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot to love about both movies, but I think that as you were saying, Mike, the fact that it has one battle after another has that a great blend of being accessible, being very rewatchable, but also being a phenomenal movie.
The reason that I leaned more towards The Master being at 4 is in terms of the filmmaking aspects of it. Like, I love The Master as a writing and performance
but
point
there's
of view.
More that's like true. Film and, techniques and one battle, utilized in
one battle has battle. Fantastic writing.
Yeah.
It has great performances.
Yeah.
And it's also got the sheer spectacle of it. Yeah, a few small beers. I think it's not that The Master should be fun, but one battle is like it deals with a lot of heavy themes. It deals with a lot of things, but it's fun simultaneously.
Yeah.
He walked a very wild tightrope with that movie.
Maybe the
and
better,
I think he executed it perfectly.
100%. I think maybe the better argument then is that there's actually he utilizes more like technical and filmmaking techniques with one battle than maybe with The Master.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of using like a lot
there's
of
a
tricks.
Lot he's doing
he's,
in that.
He's
yeah.
doing a lot of tricks in that movie.
You know what it
there
is?
There are though? Smaller, like, more intimate moments in that, but then there's also you like, know, panning through, like, I don't
well,
know.
He's got helicopter shots.
Yeah. Helicopter yeah. shots. He's like, rooftop shots.
Vistavision.
Yep. Yeah.
And the
Vistavision
looks gorgeous.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Looks incredible on the big screen.
Do you want to
I think,
your thoughts on it?
You know what? I think I'm starting to turn around a little bit because I do understand what you're saying because I think from the outset when I look at The Master, I go, I don't think there's a better performance in one battle after another than Philip Seymour Hoffman in The Master.
And I'll agree with you.
I would agree.
Absolutely.
And even Joaquin Phoenix.
Even
yeah.
Joaquin
Master.
Phoenix. Like, yeah. I mean,
that's two of the best performances of the 21st
absurd.
Century.
Absurd. I mean, that I don't know what you call the Scientology interview scene. Is it a Scientology interview scene?
Oh, yeah,
they
no,
call something. There's a word for
processing.
It.
Yes,
the processing
yeah. scene. I mean, the processing scene is phenomenal. It's an incredible scene, and it just sticks in your mind. It's stuck in my mind ever since I saw that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then again, I see the idea that potentially, is that
enough?
Is the performances enough in terms of, is it lifting it up?
I mean, you guys make a good case. I mean, it's hard to advocate too much for The Master in the sense of like, because it's such a wild movie.
Yeah,
it's so specific too. Like we were talking about that the other day. Like, how do you even like write?
Where do you start?
Where do you even start with that movie? Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons why I love that movie from the first watch is like it's a movie about a cult, but it's not. Any movie like a cult that's ever been made.
Yeah.
And I'm such a sucker for, I mean, and a lot of his movies, and he blurs the lines between like family and cult, but most of his movies have something to do with a cult like thing.
Or, yeah. Right? I think in this one, he views the cult as family.
As family.
Whereas, right.
Yeah.
And I think all of his movies are about family of some sort.
Yeah, or religion. How we find family and
religion.
Or community
love.
Even.
I think
love.
Just love in general.
Yeah.
Religion, cult, family, and all of those things being gray. right? Mm-hmm. Like, because they all, that's something that's important. Even in this movie, I mean, with the French 75 and...
Or the Christmas Club.
The Christmas Adventurers.
Yeah, the Christmas Adventurers Club.
Yeah.
All hail Saint Nick.
Yes.
I know what
we won't get too into it because we don't want to spoil.
Why is your hand up, Ryan? Ryan!
Whoa! That is an odd degree angle that your arm is sticking out.
I did not pull an Elon in the studio. They are lying.
So
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas, by the way.
I don't like it's where a t-shirt. This is going.
I don't like where it's this just is going gonna say either. Just gonna say semen demon on it.
Dude, I was
incredible.
Can I say
hold on, I'm gonna turn your mic off and then you can say it at least in a smaller or more like,
can I say pissing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was pissing myself laughing.
yeah. So good. Yeah. What a way to end. Like,
I wanted
like,
to make sure. Again, what a way. To, by the way, I don't want to get too sidetracked on here, but the fact that they bring him back just for that gag is hilarious.
It's amazing. So
it's hilarious.
It's incredible.
It's amazing.
Let's go master
it.
So
master
four.
It four.
Master it four.
And then that would, I think, mean that one battle after another.
At three.
At number three.
Wow.
That's higher than I thought it would get, to be honest.
Well, that's your fault.
But I'm okay with it there. It feels right.
It does feel right at three.
Yeah, hold on. It is your fault.
I know. We wanted it at four.
We wanted it at four. You wanted it at three.
Where it belongs.
I agree. I'm okay with it at three. Yeah. Genuinely. Yeah. That leaves two movies, and that leaves Boogie Nights and There Will Be Blood. Now this is a doozy. I'll say just right off the bat, either direction I'm okay with, because I think that these are both phenomenal movies. So either way, I'm okay. So I'm gonna recuse myself.
Sure.
Right now. We know how Mike feels.
Well, yeah, but like if you're looking at it from not a personal standpoint, I don't know. It's really tough because without Boogie Nights, he's not on the map.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That really is what puts him on the map. I think it's named, like, if you kind of think of it like, if it, you know, Here Lies Paul Thomas Anderson, director of what's the first movie, it's either There Will Be Blood or Boogie Nights.
Yes. Yeah.
And to piggyback off your point there, when you said like Boogie Nights put him on the map, I think There Will Be Blood put him as a serious filmmaker.
100%.
Yeah, that was like,
I think
when
they're
people
equally like pinnacles of his career.
Yeah, I think that whereas Boogie Nights kind of put him on the map just as a director in general to look out for, I think that There Will Be Blood solidified it.
Well, it has the Oscars thing, so again, you could make that argument on that side. It has, and it got a lot of Oscar attention.
The Academy
it's also
Awards.
Is up until this moment in time, this very moment in time, and it's not going to be much longer. It is his highest grossing movie.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
There Will Be Blood, really?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
77, I think, worldwide.
Only 77.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. That's why actually higher than I thought it would be.
That's why I'm like, why did you give him $120 million to make One Battle After Another?
And
he's
also
never getting, like...
Why are they acting surprised?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it, that's why I said at this moment, because this movie will surpass There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
I think this will
have legs for sure.
It will have legs, and also it's going to have a couple of lives because of Oscar stuff, and, you know, it's going to be in theaters again.
Yep.
I'm going to make my prediction right now that it wins Best Picture this year.
Okay.
That's a fair assessment.
That'd be really cool.
Just putting that out there.
Yeah. Okay. There's unfortunately there's the Green Book of this year, which I haven't seen.
The Green Book of this year.
Yeah, it's called Hamnet.
Oh, God.
That's a tough comparison to make.
That's
Green
just what
Book,
I've been
dude?
That's just what I've been told.
Yeah. Green Book?
Yeah.
That's crazy comparison.
It's tugging at heartstrings. It's populist.
Oh, in that way. Okay.
We already got a Shakespeare family drama that won Best Picture, and nobody liked it then.
But this isn't like, that was like a feel good. This is a feel awful from what I've seen. So, Hamnet, like,
yeah. So, I mean, you can see it. Once upon a time, there was a battle type movie against a Shakespeare type movie. And now we have a battle type movie against a Shakespeare type movie.
We have the chance to correct
that. We have a chance to.
The film year of 1998. Yes, yeah. For those of you who are unsure at home.
Unsure. So anyway, There Will Be Blood does have that, and it does kind of solidify him, I would say, as like a filmmaker that you can't ignore. I mean, Magnolia wasn't like this, you know, I think Magnolia and Punch Drunk Love, which are, I believe, the two films that were in between there.
Yes.
Yep. They were interesting. I think it, yep. it, you know, that it allowed him to get to the point where he could make There Will Be Blood. Mm. I don't know. It's really tough.
Here's
it's
the thing.
Really tough.
I also think that you can add. You said the Oscars thing to There Will Be Blood, which is fair. I also think that again, much to the against the point that you were making earlier, it does have a performance in it that is truly one of the best performances.
Yeah, it did.
Of the 21st century. I know you hate Daniel Day-Lewis, but
see, now you're
and he did win the Oscar.
I know.
Right?
He wins the Oscar every time he steps. Oh, not every time.
All right. Take a breath.
Yeah. Take a lap, man. No, but like it does feature an immaculate performance.
Yeah. Yes. You think his wife told him to, you know, do the dishes while he was doing that movie, and he was like, "I'm an oil man.
Yeah, I'm an oil man.
I don't know what dishes are.
I don't do dishes." An exhausting human to be around. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You would not a good hang.
Nightmare
blunt rotation.
His performance in this movie, and I love him in everything. Yeah. I would hate to be around him as Daniel Plainview.
Yeah.
Like
he's one of two guys. Either he's the guy that's not passing, or it's the guy that every time it's his turn, you have to hit him like eight times in order for it to him to take it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly.
One of the two. It's either he's forgetting and just, it's now just his.
Yeah.
Or you're like, dude, it's coming around to you again.
Yeah.
Take the thing. Yeah, just not a good hang.
Not a good hang at all. Like, him and Christian Bale in that same breath, man. Yeah. So, with that being said,
I've abandoned my boy! I've abandoned my child!
I just started thinking about Christian Bale yelling at that lighting guy.
Yeah, exactly.
The Terminator.
Get out of the shot! so justified, though. I loved hearing that. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
The funniest part of that is, like, he's like, I'll have you over to my house and we'll be friends, but professionally, we're done. Like,
yeah.
You just, like, that guy's never coming over for dinner. Like,
yeah. Just yelled at him in front of the entire set.
I thought it was
set.
Funny is that he was yelling at him in a fake American accent.
He kept the American accent up.
For Terminator of all, Terminator Salvation of all movies
of all
to get
movies.
Upset about.
Yeah.
Well, but that's how the, can't, you
don't
he,
know going
he
into
He did
it.
The thing that you, that is like, that's like, what's the, that's like not tagging on a fly ball, and that's like one of the first things you learn Little League.
Right.
It's like, no, you got to go back and tag.
Yes.
Yeah. You learn that at like 6 years old.
Yeah.
And what that guy did is like one of the first things you learn on set when you're on, like, you don't stand in actors' eye lines.
Yeah.
You just don't. And in fact, not only you don't stand, you don't move.
You stand as
when
still.
When it's rehearsal, when you're acting, everyone is still.
Unless you're like operating the camera.
Right.
That's...
And then he did like the two things. Number one was moving around, but then number two, moving around in the actor's eye line.
Yeah.
And he did it several times.
And that's the thing is where we pick up in the story is that he's done it like three times.
Yeah.
And then Christian Bale loses his mind. Right?
Not only that, he's trying to get tears going during Terminator.
It's an emotional shit.
And that's actually the frustrating thing for Christian Bale. He's like, dude, I'm doing a Terminator movie trying to be like emotional right now.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, Just
there's like green screens all around me.
Dude,
I have
just,
to like
just don't
sit
move.
Still.
Yeah,
just sit, still.
Just sit still for 30 seconds.
I want like, you off to sit.
Anyways, we need to decide.
Yeah.
We need to make
a decision. We were so late.
Okay. Go ahead.
Boogie Nights, There Will Be Blood.
I was gonna say which do you mean? Boogie Nights at one or two?
Two. There Will Be Blood at one.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Oh, that was
after all that.
All it took was us talking about Christian Bale and Terminator, and that was able to satisfy everything.
Wow, look at that. I like her list.
I like her
list.
Back.
A pretty good list.
I would like to read this back. Our PTA ranking officially for Outside the Frame would be Hard 8 at number 10. Number 9, we have Licorice Pizza. 8, we have Punch Drunk Love. 7, Inherent Vice. 6, Magnolia. 5, Phantom Thread. 4, The Master. 3, One Battle After Another. 2, Boogie Nights. And 1, There Will Be Blood. I think that's a good list.
It's a good list.
It's a good list.
I am very excited to compare this to your Letterboxd list
It's not. It's really. I mean,
it's real different.
It's different.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, thank
you
all.
When
you
guys see mine, you're going to be like, that's insane.
No, I've seen yours. Yeah. I'm like, nah, dude.
Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another edition of Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. My name is Elijah.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Dalton.
And we will see you all next week. Take care of yourselves until then.